I would like, before we pray, to read from Jude, from verse 3 to 6. Jude, from verse 3 to 6. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for your precious and holy word. It is given to us for a mirror that we look into it to recognize how we look like in your eyes, how we are formed, how it is with us. Give grace to this service so that we become aware of that we now are gathered in your presence. You know us all. Forgive us. Be merciful to us. May the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary, with whom you, O Lord, as the High Priest, entered the Holy of Holies, may you purify us now from all sin, from all guilt, from unbelief, from everything, O Lord. Bless and sanctify this day. Bless and sanctify this service, O Lord. Bless and sanctify your people that is gathered in your name. Speak in a special way to our hearts. Give us ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that believes. Together we ask you, receive us and all our petitions. Save the lost, heal the sick, deliver the captives, give justice to your people. Faithful God, we trust you. Now we look away from us, from all circumstances, from everything what is around us. We look up to you, the living God, who created the heaven and the earth, and who dwells in the hearts of them who are humble and of a contrite spirit. As such, we are gathered here. You know the trials through which we all have to go, the one in this way, the other in that way. But now, make us still. Let us forget the everyday life with all its cares and troubles, that we see and hear nobody but Jesus alone. Glorify thy name, confirm thy word, O Lord, and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are so grateful that we recognized the truth, that it has set us free, that we could become a part of the Word. Some weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I received a letter from the Persian Gulf, from Oman, from a young man who has read the booklet Christianity yesterday and today in the English language. I ask myself, how does the brochure come there? A pure Islamic country. And nevertheless, God takes care in a very wonderful way that His word reaches the ends of the earth, all peoples, all tongues and nations. As already said, one could give testimonies of that, what God does. And this we want. For this purpose we are here. The Lord said, ye shall be my witnesses, not only my preachers or my evangelists. Ye shall be my witnesses. You will testify of that what I do. You will glorify the work of the grace of God. For this purpose we are here. People who had an experience with God, they cannot keep it for themselves. They want to pull others into the kingdom of God. But it remains with our efforts. Only the Lord can do it. But He likes to do it, if we allow Him. Sometimes people are so much on our hearts. Dear people, whom we would like to bring to the Lord. And then we see our impotence. The right words are missing to us. We don't know how we shall do it. And suddenly the Lord intervenes. And then He does the miracle of grace, the miracle of salvation, of redemption, of salvation. And then it is with those who we want to bring to the Lord as it was with us. All of you who you had believing parents, you know precisely, also they could only point you to the Lord. The decision everybody had to make himself. So it is with all who come to the Lord. And it is written, all whom the Father draws, they will come unto me. Let yourselves be addressed today. Let yourselves be drawn today. Let yourselves be reconciled with God today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. How grateful we may be to live in this generation, to have been informed by God about everything, to have an overall view of the plan of salvation, and then also to discern what God is doing now in these days. Now we want to go into our word observation. I connect to the verse which we just read from Jude from Jude, we were reading up to verse 6, and I read now, or up to 5, I think. I read now once again verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Between the salvation, the leading out, the redemption, the deliverance, and the entering into the promised land, there is always a time span. And there trials come upon us of various kinds, tests that we can only stand by faith. Unbelief makes us fall. Faith raises us up. And so it is written here that we shall contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, what kind of faith was this? The same faith which God has given to you and to me, namely the faith in God's power, in God's faithfulness, the faith which looks away from us and of that what surrounds us, the faith which swings up and which has full confidence to God. In this faith, those to whom the word came, they won victories. They went over heights and depths. But the end was a crowning. Here we are told the people of Israel were led out, but then came the trial, and all who believed not perished. We become believers for one purpose, that we really believe, and that we question nothing of that what God has said, that we count Him faithful who has given the promises, that He is able to also fulfill them. From us, this biblical faith is required. And thanks be to God, it comes by hearing, and the hearing comes from the Word of God. What does Paul write to the Thessalonians? The word which was preached unto you, you didn't receive it as the words of men, but as the word of God, as it is in truth. This was, by the way, the subject of Thursday 2 weeks ago. And then came the question, how can we know whether the preacher preaches the word of God or not? And then it was, of course, my turn. This you can imagine. There we went straight to Revelation 2. You have tried them who say they are apostles and hast found them liars. And then we came to the point. There is only one original proclamation of the Word of God. And it is written here in the Bible. And this is the only measuring rod with which everything has to be measured. Sometimes the people give you the right subject matters for that what must be said, and then we rejoice. So, let us come to our subject. The biblical faith is anchored in the Word of God and subsequently anchored in God, for the Word came forth from God. Yes, God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, we could make the beginning with God's help. Let us be careful that we also reach the destination, that we stand the trials which come upon everyone. God will not impose more on us than we can bear, than we can stand. To no one. Sometimes it seems as if more has been imposed on us than we can bear. But then there's the scripture in Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We bear one another. We understand each other. We love one another. I've said this recently in Krefeld. If one speaks with unbelievers and one is asked, how is it with your fellowship there? Then we just say, yes, we are a great family. Everyone cares for the other. Everyone knows the other. We are all one heart and one soul. And when I said this recently somewhere, then my heart was beating a bit faster and the conscience became more clear. And I stood before the question, did you really say the truth? Or did you just say how it should be? Yes, this is a difference. We know how it should be. And this we just say to the people by faith that it is so. How many can believe it that we will come to this point? That we'll be so joined in the love of God with one another, that really your pain is my pain and your joy our joy, that everyone shares with everyone everything, and this wholeheartedly. After all, we are members of one body and have submitted to the Lord as the head. Not the beginning is crowned, but the end. But so that the end can be crowned, the beginning must be made. And this beginning with God, we wish today to everyone who didn't make it yet consciously. Beloved, to us the knowledge, the teaching, the revelation, to us the divine things became great. We appreciate them and are grateful for it. But the salvation of the soul we did not disregard. One soul is more valuable than the whole world. And if today in this gathering one person is led to the Lord, oh, then be thanks to God for this service. Then it was worthwhile for all of us to be here today. Let us go on now to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here we read verse 13. 1 Peter 1 verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. You all know what belongs to the equipment when it goes for battle. And today I brought with me a sermon of Brother Branham with the title The Greatest Battle. And he says somehow, perhaps I read it later on, today we don't go for battle with a rifle, we go with an atomic bomb. We need, for the final battle, an armor of God that can meet the power of the enemy, that we stand the ground and come forth as victors. And I tell you already now how this can take place, by placing ourselves by faith upon the victory ground of Calvary. Also to this I would like to point. Everything what shall become a revelation in the heart must be received beforehand by us consciously. And only then, if we consciously received what God has said to us in His Word, and this Word which we received falls into our soul, then there is, of course, the explosion. Then new life comes forth. Then the power of God is manifested. But firstly, we can see, we can hear, but that what we get shown by God, what we get to hear, we receive it in us. And when it has fallen deep enough, not turning it and rolling it over in the head, but directing it down in a channel to become there the power of God. Because here in top one reasons, in the heart one believes. And therefore the word which we hear must fall into the heart to bring forth faith. Here we are told, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I emphasized this over and again. The revelation of Jesus Christ has become the most precious unto us that was given to us. By the way, that's how the last book of the Bible starts, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, all revelations of God are contained. Revelation of the Word, of the Spirit, of the power, every divine stream flows since Calvary into the church, by the church, into the individuals, through the individuals. They become a part of the divine manifestation place here on earth. Let us read from 1 Peter chapter 5, and here from verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Yes, maybe this part also. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And to this we can only say Amen, because we have put our trust in God. Be sober, be vigilant. Earlier we read that we should make ourselves ready, girding up our loins, remaining sober, putting our hope in the grace of God, which is brought unto us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here we are required to remain sober and vigilant. Why? What is it about? It is about the one subject. Your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't devour immediately. He influences. He puts the foot a bit between the door. First comes the listening. And you can believe me, I read it to you later on from the sermon of Brother Branham. God and the devil. Everyone needs people, and we have to be vigilant. Who speaks through whom? Whether that what is being said comes from God, whether it is helpful, whether it edifies, whether it puts together, or whether it is of different nature. Everything divine leads again back to God. Everything else is destructive, many times more pious than that what can be offered on the divine side. But the discernment we all need to know what is the whole purpose of any activity. And I think right these lessons, I really had to drink the cup down to the bottom. I would have liked to say, let this cup pass over me, for I am so afraid. And yet, we didn't look for these things. We didn't decide what kind of role we would like to play, what kind of commission we would carry out. The things were determined by God, and we have to submit into the divine plannings, and by it becoming a part of the plan of God. So the devil walks around like a roaring lion and seeks whom he may devour. This reminds me on Revelation chapter 12, where the dragon opens up its mouth to devour the man-child as soon as he is born. The devil has some designations, dragon, old serpent, and the register could be continued. Whom does he want to devour? The overcomers. Those who are ordained to be taken up to the throne. The others who have not this determination by election, he lulls them to sleep. But those who were determined by God to get saved and to see the glory on them the devil vents all his anger. And we can be grateful if we have to go through some kind of trials and tribulations, misunderstandings, slanders, misjudgments. What did our Lord say? When the servant feels like his master, then he shall be satisfied. He said, if they have hated me, they will also hate you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Have they heard my word, they will also hear your word. He who hears you, hears me. Let us not look on circumstances, not on the trials, no matter what kind they are. Let us look to the Lord, to not be put to shame, neither on ourselves nor on others. For not the beginning, but the end will be crowned. That's how we read it. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What did Caleb say at that time? After the 40 years of wandering in the desert, I am today so as I was 40 years ago. Nothing has changed on him. He was together with Joshua. Both of them returned and brought with them the fruit of the promised land as an evidence. And by faith they said, we are more than able to conquer the land. Today we speak about faith amidst a world of unbelief. And yet, it is possible by the grace of God, amidst in all the unbelief, yet to believe God, to trust Him, and to know He who led out will also lead in. He who has redeemed will also keep and protect. He will, when we stumble or fall, He will help up, giving new strength, that we swing up as eagles, that we run and not faint to reach the destination. And how do we need here the one the other? One day it's you, one day it's him, where we have a down, being a bit depressed, and then comes somebody and says, be of good cheer, it goes on with God's help. Only one sentence in love, in the right tone, at the right time, it can work miracles. Let us allow God to use us. Let the right words be given to us at the right time to help him who faints, who is weary, to give him the right word as a comfort at the right time. And you will see, God uses people who serve one another, who reach their hands to them. The service doesn't end with a sermon. There it actually starts among all of us, who we then put into practice what we have heard through the sermon. To this, we would like to read James chapter 2. James chapter 2, here, the apostle lines out very clearly. James chapter 2, from verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I'm glad about this word. I was reading about this text many years ago. Probably it's 25 and more years ago. It was a text of a doctor of theology. And he wrote there in what kind of contradiction James was to Paul. Not at all. A contradiction does not exist in the Bible at all. There is an addition, an enlightenment from several sides, but not a contradiction. Paul pointed out that faith saves without the works which man can do by himself. By it, he didn't question that we should be obedient towards that what God requires from us. Abraham, of course, didn't do anything to be saved, to by it find favor with God. Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham did what God said. These are other works than the good works which right and left are being done in the religions. These are works of faith. And I can read it to you from Hebrews. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead, for he told his servants, "Remain here, my son and myself, we go to worship, and then we will return." He didn't say, "And then I will return." He said, "Then we will return." So, faith joined with obedience towards God. The obedience connected with a carrying out and deed of that what God commanded us. And then also the dead can be resurrected. If God can accomplish this with us in these last days, that the faith merges into obedience, and obedience not only as a venture to bolster oneself up, but that the courage is already contained in the obedience, and faith also, as with Abraham, that we count God as being faithful, that he will fulfill every promise that he has given. I don't want to use the word must. God mustn't do anything. But he does it because he is faithful. He keeps what he promises. Rather the heavens fall down before his word deceives me, as the German song goes. And another hymn writer sings, "Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains may vanish, but he who believes will find out. A believer cannot be put to shame. Believe thou this, what God promised, and have the courage to stand on it in obedience of faith, and you will be able to take the miracle with you home, as Abraham could take the miracle home. Believe what God has said, being obedient towards that what he requires from us, and then putting it into practice. Therein we experience the justification of our faith, the confirmation of our faith, the liveliness of our faith, the power of our faith. In that moment, faith is no more dead to let itself be buried, but alive because we were quickened with Christ. That's how it is written in Romans 6. By the water baptism, we were buried with him into death and rose with him unto a new life. Faith connected with obedience, and the obedience leads then to the deed. We dealt with this here many times when the Lord God said to Moses, take the rod, smite the rock, and I will let water come forth from it. From a human point of view, this was an absurdity. How shall come water forth from a rock just because somebody smites there with a rod on it? Moses heard from the mouth of the Lord these holy words. They went through his marrow and bone. He didn't know anything else but to go with a rod in his hand, not trembling and hesitating, but by obedience of faith, he did what God told him. And I wouldn't marvel if he had to jump to the side, because the water just came forth. What was it? Faith of obedience, not works, which you and I would like to do to look a bit better before God. I remind you on John 14, verse 12, the favorite verse of Brother Branham, together with Hebrews 13, verse 8. Our Lord says in the Gospel of John 14, the works that I have done, ye shall do also. What kind of works were they? Not just any, but works which belonged to the ministry, to the task given to him. For thus it is written in Isaiah 35, then the blind shall see, the lame shall walk, the dumb shall speak, and so forth. The lame shall jump like a deer. It belonged to his ministry. What belongs to the ministry of the church? Brothers and sisters, we have to face our common task in the presence of God. And the sooner we do it, the quicker we will see God at work in our midst. These will not then be the works which we could do ourselves, because then we will be able to say, as our Lord said, not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does these works. Then we will say, not I have done it, but the Lord, my Redeemer, the power of God, will then, through us weak ones, become mighty. Who actually longs for it? Who would like to be equipped with a power from on high? Who wants to have divine authority? Who wants to see it in the church? Who wants to experience it? Who would like to testify of the resurrection power of our Lord? Beloved, it must come to it. We can't be prepared all the time for the final battle without that we come once into this final battle. I believe the last battle will bring with it a great victory of God, and much booty will still be taken away from the enemy. The victory of our God is not yet on its climax, but slowly and surely we are heading for it. To believe is good, but faith obliges us to do what God has said in His Word. And what does our Lord say after His resurrection to the 11? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then comes the nice sentence, this verse, these signs shall follow them that believe. Them who believe. He who does not believe, to him they cannot follow. At the most he can run after them, but they will not follow him. Let God give us the grace that we don't belong to them who run after some kind of things when a special gifted man comes, so that we see miracles and afterwards marvel about that no miracles took place. But may we rather belong to them who don't run after a thing, but which follows us, which accompanies us, which surrounds us. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He dwells in us, and if we give Him priority, then He will manifest Himself. He will not only make His Word alive, He will also confirm it. I read it quickly. James 2:22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. My heart is touched about that God speaks to us in such a clear way. Without making a detour, He unveiled before us. He set forth how this spiritual way is walked and how it leads to the destination. So faith joined with obedience, with a deed, likewise joined, and then justified and being called the friend of God. What does our Lord say in John 15? I don't call you any longer servants, but friends. For a servant does not know what his Lord doeth. But ye are my friends, if you do what I command you. Abraham did what the Lord commanded him. He believed. He was obedient. He received the justification of faith on the spot. Where did he receive it? Would he have had it if he would have remained at home? No. He went on his way. And after a 3-day journey, he opened his eyes and he saw Mount Moriah afar off. And he went there. At that place, let me say this slowly and advisedly. At that place, where the faith of Abraham was proved by the deed in obedience, at that place Abraham received the divine justification, and he could walk on as a friend of God. He believed God. He obeyed God. He did what was required from him. At that place where he became a doer of the word that was addressed to him, at that place was divine justification for him. Where is your and my divine justification? Is it a fantasy which hovers around somewhere? No. Your and my justification is there where it happened for me and for you. By the way, Mount Moria, you all know, is in Jerusalem, not far from Golgotha, through the valley Hinnom, across the other side. The same place where the upper room was. The same place where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. At the edge of Mount Zion. There a man was obedient. There he received justification. Where do you receive your justification? It is written, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody knows this scripture, Romans 5, verse 1. Where do we find peace with God? I tell you now. I tell you from the depth of my soul. It is written of our Lord in Hebrews that he was obedient, and also in Philippians, in Colossians, obedient unto death. Obedient. The disobedience of Adam and Eve was nullified by the obedience of the second Adam through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who as the Son of God was made a little lower than the angels to be able to suffer and die. He was obedient, obedient unto the death on the cross. God could not do otherwise but to at this point of obedience give back to mankind the divine justification and to reconcile us by the holy blood with himself. There Abraham on the Mount Moriah with Isaac, here God who through Christ reconciled the world with himself. Perfect obedience, humiliation, obedience unto the death on the cross. Of Christ also other religions speak of. Today all are informed about everything since the mass media exist. All know about all the religions. But we preach Christ, the crucified one. He, our redemption, our justification, he is everything to us. As with Abraham, at that place where the obedience of faith was proved by the deed, as he received his son back and stood before God justified, returning, being blessed, so it happened with you and with me. Jesus Christ, our Lord, as the Son of God, through his suffering, he learned obedience and he offered himself. He rose on the third day from the dead. Now we are required. We are called to follow his footsteps. And to it I read you a word. I think it's written in Corinthians. It should be 1 Corinthians 15. From verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15. From verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah! Perfect redemption, full salvation, up to the translation from that what we are now into that what we shall be. Let me read some passages just briefly from this sermon. Here it is about the great battle, about the battle of faith into which we were placed. And I want to quickly say it, in the moment where we consciously placed ourselves onto the side of God, it means a declaration of war against the enemy. Already the enemy becomes our adversary when we made our decision for Jesus Christ. We know our Lord has abolished the enmity, so that we have peace with God. I read from page 9. It says here, there is only two powers, two kingdoms. All the rest is connected with either one of those powers. And those powers is God's power and Satan's power. Every war, every disorder, everything that comes along, it's either controlled by God's power or Satan's power. Because that's the only two powers there is. It is the power of life or the power of death. That's the only two powers. Mankind is between these two powers. And we must, by the divine, get a divine connection. And because we are by nature born in sin and brought nothing divine with us to this earth, we need something divine. A seed of God must be laid into us, to by this, through the divine, which was laid into us, establish the connection with God. For human will always remain human, and divine will always remain divine. So, we need the Word of God as the divine seed which is laid into our hearts. And by this, we have a connection to the divine which was laid into us, to the divine which is prepared for us and which was announced to us in many promises. I read on. The power of Satan is the power of God perverted. It's no real power, for everything what Satan has is the perversion of God's power. Satan is a perverter of the word, of the opinions. He puts everything upside down. And the original word, diabolos, means nothing else than a confounder, a jumbler. Everywhere there, where there are misunderstandings, where there is a confusion, where all these things are, there the devil is in the play. Where God speaks and works, comes clarity, comes peace, comes everything what as fruits of the Holy Spirit can be manifested. I read on. And all of us who are sitting here today are controlled by one or the other power. Let us cast out the evil one and let's take our position like the stars of the heavens. Let us cast out the evil one. You all know, it is written, Cain was of the evil one. There are people who don't want to believe the revelation of that, what happened in the Garden of Eden, wherein the beguiling actually was. But the scripture speaks of the wicked one, and with this not Adam is meant. With this really the wicked one is meant. How can we cast him out? From our thoughts, from our words, from our deeds, from our lives. How can we cast him out? By recognizing him as that what he is, and to put the camouflage just aside, to then see the reality. I read on. The first great battle began in heaven when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. The first battle was in heaven. So sin did not originate on earth, but in heaven. Then he was thrown down from heaven on earth and fell on human beings. The battle of the angels became the battle among the humans. You see what's all about? The battle shifted from top to bottom. So, upon the earth, it continues. Satan came to destroy God's creation that God created for himself. Satan came to destroy this. That was his purpose. That's how the battle began here on earth. It began in us and has been raging ever since. The battle is fought in you and in me, then through us. But somehow, that's how we also read it, we are either controlled by the one or by the other power. Jesus our Lord said once, when a disciple used the term, if thou wilt, then speak, that fire comes down from heaven and consume them. And he said, know ye not what manner of spirit ye are of? One has to know what manner of spirit one is. If one is a child of God, then one nevertheless has to be careful that the enemy does not trick one with thoughts. For a greater calamity than with believers, the enemy cannot create. He cannot cause so much damage with 100,000s of unbelievers than with 10 believers. It is just like that. You know, we don't have to go here into details. So, we must be vigilant in which service we are, which language we speak. What does James write? He who doesn't bridle his tongue, his service is in vain, null and void. He just warms up the chair. He could remain at home. How many things God has told us in his word, which we have to obey, to check on which side we are, in whose service we are. I read on. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battleground is in the human mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of the battle. There it starts, And that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. I don't know whether we understand this fully, but if we, for instance, hear the word of God or get announced to make a decision for Christ, so we must of that what we heard form a yes. We must have an inner agreement. We must be able to say yes to the offer of God's grace before the divine effect can be manifested in the heart. We have to receive the heard things and we have to agree. We have to say yes. And if we are called by God, we must say, here I am. Not doing like Adam and Eve, hiding themselves, but just say, here I am. God sees us as we are. He calls us and He wants that we are all helped. I read on. Decisions are made in the mind, the head. There is where Satan meets you. And the decisions are because that God made a man that way. Now I have, if you was looking on my note here, I have a little map drawn out here. Not long ago, I used it here on the board. Before we close, we come here briefly to the point of what it is now all about. A decision for God. God has chosen us. This is clear. Calvary is the provided evidence of the love of God towards us. On Calvary, in Christ, the divine yes towards us and the divine amen was spoken. All the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the divine yes towards you and me requires your and my yes towards Him. And so the people must make their own personal decision based upon the free will which we received. And this decision has to go through some kind of battle. There is hardly any man who comes under the proclamation. In revivals it was so. Their people came for the first time and they only had 2 or 3 hours time, because back then the people didn't stop preaching until the last sinner lay in tears on the floor. Only then was the meeting over. Whether it was in the evening, whether it was at midnight or in the morning, this didn't matter. The preaching went on for so long until the result was lying there. Amen. We also wish ourselves such meetings in which the result of the proclamation can be taken home. And I tell you, today you can take it home. But it goes through a battle. Now it starts on top here. What will my colleagues say? My neighbors? What will my teacher say? My pupils? What will they say? What will mommy say? What will daddy say? Now this great battle starts here on top. We have heard the word of God. In the heart we agree. We say, yes, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be with God. And now the fight begins up here. Yes, but what will the people say? And the neighbors? You all know, then the battle starts up here. The battle is then not up here anymore. The battle is then here. Not right or left next to you, but in you. In your head. In your reasoning. How will your decision be? I'm convinced. We are all sitting here very still. But if I would ask now, in how many a battle goes on? A battle which has to be followed up by a decision. This goes to and fro. One feels to be drawn to the Lord. And then comes the evil one and says, you will lose all your friends. What will be at work? You are making a fool of yourself. And so forth. The battle is fought. How shall it end? It shall end with a victory of God. It shall end with a decision for Jesus Christ. All of us, we went through this battle, or not all. Some of us are still in the battle today. I mean all of us, but not in the battle for the decision for Christ, but in the battle with other things, which are also of spiritual kind. So let us keep in mind, the battle is here. Now just briefly, I read. That's exactly right. There's only one way of decision, and that's by the free moral agency. You can accept doubt, or you can accept faith. Either one you want to work on. If this church right now could be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord with not one shadow of doubt anywhere, then there would not be a feeble person in our midst in the next 5 minutes. There would not be nobody here desiring the Holy Ghost, but what would receive it. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. If we bring all these conclusive words with everything what we looked at on one common denominator, then it is about the faith, about the trust, about the belief in God, believing what He said, doing obediently what He requires from us to receive the righteousness of faith from God. Self-righteousness comes through own works. God's righteousness is given to them who believe in the work of God, which happened on the cross of Calvary, and who stand on it, and who consciously receive what God prepared for them. And this can happen today. If we believe in one accord that Jesus Christ is still the same today, then we also may believe in one accord that He saves still today, that He delivers still today, that He still heals today, that He baptizes even today with Spirit and fire, that He reveals Himself today, that He speaks today, that He works today. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He gave the promise, I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. He wants to be with us and in us so that He can do His works through us. Of Abraham, God did not require anything else but to only do in obedience what he was told. The same applies to all of us. God does not put upon us unaccomplishable yokes and burdens. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He does not burden. He takes from us what burdens us, what depresses us. Therefore He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. This is His offer. Come unto me all, says our Lord. That's how we say to you today. Especially those who probably are here today for the first time and hear the message of the gospel. Be ye reconciled with God. Believe that on Calvary a reconciliation of God with mankind took place. Believe that God was in Christ and that Christ died in our stead so that we live for Him. Yes, that divine life through the church can be manifested. Abraham believed. Abraham obeyed. Abraham did. I could continue with many scriptures. Just one more. Galatians 4, 28, probably. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Abraham received the promise. In Isaac, all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. And right by him through whom all should be blessed, he had to be given over to death. God required much, and he gave even more back what he required. Hallelujah! God doesn't take, God gives. And if he takes that from our hands and from our hearts, what hinders him from putting what belongs in us, then we should thank him and say, Lord, here we are. Take us as we are. Make us like Abraham was. People who are called the friends of God. Wouldn't this be nice? When suddenly a friendship between God and us could be there. Ye are my friends, not only servants and maids, sons and daughters of God. He has made a covenant with us. Also we were given over to death. We were crucified with Christ and died. But we didn't remain dead. We rose with him. With us, it's like with Abraham and Isaac. We returned again with the difference that we returned from the altar. Isaac was lying on the altar. He was sacrificed. The knife went down already. And this was the moment. Let us lay ourselves upon the altar of God. Let us trust the Lord. Let us believe to have been crucified with Christ. Then we will also rise with him as new creatures and walk on the way rejoicing. Faith was justified by obedience. We need a faith which is not dead, but which is justified and made alive by the works that are done by faith and by the power of God. And by this the word is confirmed. Do you believe that God will do it? I believe he will do it. Blessed and praised be his wonderful and holy name. Amen.